So it's kind of funny, as Sherry was announcing about following us on Instagram, we're on Facebook as well. It was kind of funny, on my iPad for taking notes, I got a little, about five or six notifications. So-and-so just started following you. So-and-so just started following you. And I thought, stay focused, Tim, stay focused. Well, it is a great day to be in God's house, yes? How are we all doing? Good. Well, hey, turn with me to the book of Psalms, chapter 69. Oh. It's like, yeah, don't take the offering again. Let's take it the first time. It's like we're giving offering for the first time. Like we're giving for the first time. MK, thanks for keeping me in line. You just keep on keeping me in line. It's a tough job, but somebody's got to do it. JJ's tried for 24 years, and she needs all the help she can get. Oh, goodness. Well, would you hold that gift before the Lord this morning? Jesus, we just want to say thank you that you have given us the ability to give. And we don't just want to just drop an offering in the basket. We don't want to just give. We want to sow this seed with the expectancy of the harvest that you want to bring. So, Jesus, we love you. We bless you. We thank you for rebuking the devourer for our sake. And we thank you, Lord God, that you are at work as we give today in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Where are the ushers? Yeah, that's a good question. There they are. Look at these good guys. Look at these good-looking guys. That's right. So while you're giving, I'm going to go ahead and kick it off. 2 months ago, we began the series, The Church I See. And so I find it hard to believe that we're in the month of November, because it's going to be 2018 before we know it. It's just been like, and there goes 2017. Check another one down. And so we've been talking about the church that God sees is the church that we should see because we want to see how God sees. Amen? And so the church I see, we talked about how God has called us to love beyond our walls. We need to integrate into our community, know what's happening around us so we're involved, we're active in our community so we don't just kind of close and lock ourselves away, but we can make impact and make a change where God has called us to live. We talked about being a people that serves the Lord and each other wholeheartedly. It's one thing to serve the Lord. It's another thing to serve each other. Amen. Amen. Having a local heart and focus and about being a place of healing where God wants to work in our lives spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically. We talked about forgiveness when we were here a month ago. I've brought it up a couple of times. How are we doing with our forgiveness? How is our forgive-o-meter? How are we doing? Let's continually be people who walk in forgiveness. We talked about being extravagant, cheerful givers of our time, talent, treasure. We talked about prayer, praying throughout the day. Pray from your heart throughout the day. And when you pray, pray the word of God. Because when we pray the word, we're praying how Jesus leads us to pray. And when we pray, pray with expectancy. Don't just pray and just say, I'm just kind of hope that all things just kind of work out okay. Pray with expectancy that God is hearing and responding. Amen? A few weeks ago, Pastor JJ spoke and talked about the promise of the next generation. Last week, we talked about bringing the sacrifice of praise. Even though we don't feel like worshiping the Lord sometimes, we bring the sacrifice of praise and we worship the Lord. We live a life of worship, not just a lifestyle, but our life that influences and impacts our lifestyle. And we talked about the joy of the Lord from Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And so today, I don't have a clever title. It's just one simple word, passion. Passion. Now, I know that all of us, all of our passion looks different because we're all different people, aren't we? None of us are wired identically the same. So let me go ahead and talk about this for a minute. The church I see is passionate and filled with the undeniable fact that the presence of Jesus is always felt when people near the campus. Let me read that again. The church I see is passionate. Everybody say passion. The church I see is passionate and filled with the undeniable fact that the presence of Jesus is always felt when people near the campus. The church I see is filled with life. Everybody say life. Life. The church I see is filled with life. And the last point, the church I see smiles on the outside because of the fullness of life on the inside. And we'll take a minute. We're going to talk about all three of these here. And so today we're going to talk about passion. But before we get too much more into it, I'd like to show you a couple of video clips that portray passion. Let's watch this first clip together.
I'm Charles Ibarra, a.k.a. Darth Vader, Dark Lord, etc., etc. I'm a QA analyst here at Rock U Games. It's a social gaming company. Facebook is sort of the platform that we run on, so my job is to test it all. Darth Vader, basically the alter ego of what you're seeing now. It's standing up, it's chest bumping, it's high-fiving, it's passion. Originally, there was a guy that actually impersonated Darth Vader in the 70s when Star Wars came out. They moved to L.A. They came back in 95, and I know it's my opportunity. I've always been a big fan since I was a kid of Star Wars and the guy that dressed up like Darth Vader. So I took it upon myself to actually move with the same character. I haven't missed a game since, not one game, not one preseason, not one regular. Around fall, it's basically 24/7 Oakland Raiders inside the Coliseum, and that's my vacation, that's my sanctuary, that's my home, that's my church.
Now you may watch that and go, wow, that guy is passionate. Now let me just kind of go on record by saying, first off, I have never been, nor will I ever be, an Oakland Raiders fan. Let me just kind of clear the air right now in case anybody's wondering, going, oh, my gosh. But it's interesting what he said. Did you catch what he was saying? It's my passion. I've never missed a preseason. I've never missed a regular season. It's my sanctuary. It's my home. It's my church. And I'm going, wow. And I found myself thinking as I was scrubbing through the internet this week watching for videos that portrayed passion. My next thought was, this guy spends a lot of money on football. If he never missed a preseason, never missed it, he spends a lot of money. Now, before we get too judgmental, before we look at go this guy, I'm going to show you one more video that portrays passion. It's just a little bit longer, and this one you guys might feel a little bit more love for. Let's go and watch this video.
Heads. They have called heads. It is heads. The winner has won.
Does anybody need a tissue to, like, dry your eye or... It's funny. Last service, we concluded the video clip, and somebody said,
Yeah, that's passion.
Now, we see passion in both of those videos, didn't we? People were passionate about their team. Now, I'll be honest with you. I thought about showing when the Cubs won the World Series last year, but I thought, no, that was that last year. This is this year. But the clip that I watched, I found myself 1 year later getting emotional all over again because last year when the Cubs won the World Series, I'll be honest with you, I shed some tears. I did some crying because it was a lifetime of broken dreams finally realized, right? And so regardless how you see the Super Bowl last year, whether it was the Patriots winning or the Falcons completely collapsing, people were passionate because they saw something that they believed in. Let's take a minute. Let's read this. Psalm chapter 69, verse 9. We're going to talk about a passion for his presence. A passion for his presence. Psalm 69, 9 in the New Living Translation says it this way. Passion for your house has consumed me. Now that sounds pretty awesome in and of itself, doesn't it? That sounds like a great passage. Passion for your house has consumed me, but look at the rest of this. King David says, and the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. What does that mean? Well, we'll talk about that. The New King James Version says it this way. Zeal for your house has eaten me up. We saw some pretty zealous people in the videos we just watched, whether it was Darth Vader or whether it was watching fans cheering as the football cross in the end zone. Zeal for your house has eaten me up, and the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me. This is what King David is saying. There's a couple different things. He's saying, number one, zeal to see God's place of habitation has completely consumed David so much that those who insult or bring reproach, David says, if you've insulted God, guess what? You've insulted me. That is how passionate David is about the Lord. He says, if you've, it's kind of like the line from the first Spider-Man movie. Remember, the Green Goblin is flying over and Spider-Man and the Green Goblin's flying over and he's messing with the people. And people start throwing bricks and stuff at him off the bridge. And the guy from New York says, you mess with one of us, you mess with all of us. That's what King David is saying. He said, the feeling that I have because I love God so much is that when you choose to say, God, Shmad, guess what? You've just done that against me. That's how zealous David is for God's presence. Can I ask a question? How do we feel when we wake up in the morning? I know every morning when MK wakes up, it's good morning, Lord. But I know, honestly, sometimes there's mornings that I wake up and I go, oh, good Lord, it's morning. I know nobody in here ever feels that way. But sometimes it's like, oh, Lord. And we wake up and we go, okay, we got to go to church and I got to do this and I got to make sure I'm set. Now, I'll be honest with you. There's times, remember last week we talked about the sacrifice of praise. There's times that I say, okay, come on, Versalono, get in line with the word. You are going to open your mouth. You are going to worship Jesus. Because remember last week I said, Jason can't do it for me. Lacey can't do it for me. I've got to worship Jesus for myself. Amen. And this is what David is saying here. He's saying, passion has got me all stirred up. Now, I know that I am more extroverted than the average bear. And I know that there are some people who are not wired like me. I know that sometimes I can come off a little direct and a little excitable. I just love the Lord. That's just kind of how God made me. See, but the Bible says that God's zeal, the zeal to be in God's presence. So when I wake up in the morning, it says it consumes me. Do I wake up in the morning? And regardless of what I say, I think, okay, T-minus X amount of time before church starts. T-minus X amount of time. Who do I get to see today? Who do I get to worship Jesus with today? Whose lives are going to be changed today? What are you going to do in this place today, Lord? Okay, so we're meeting at Bean Center. Who's going to come today that hasn't been to the mill? Who's going to... There's the expectancy that God is going to show up. Amen. I expect the Lord to show up. And that is what David is saying. See, but it also points to why Jesus went into the temple twice and he cleared out the money changers. It wasn't just once, it was twice that Jesus went in. And he said, okay, my Father's house is a house of worship and you've made it into a den of thieves. It's a house of prayer for all nations. And Jesus went in, and it's often thought that this is the passage where Jesus got his basis from. He says, and he's going in, and he's saying, this is what my Father's house is supposed to be like. So is this how, let me ask this question. Is this how we feel about protecting our times where we come together and worship the Lord? Or is it easy for us to say, you know, I'm kind of tired today. I had 3 or 4 days without power. I'm just kind of had a long week. And I just frankly don't feel like going to church today. I'm just kind of tired. I'm just kind of, you know, God will give me a pass. Or do we say, God, this is the way I feel. Help me. Because let me tell you, he will help. Let me say that again. God will help. See, when we experience this zealousness, this passion in our lives, there is an expectancy that grows within us. And the very thought of coming together again should almost do something where it gives us like a shot of adrenaline right in our chest. Ooh, we can't wait to get into God's house. What's God going to do today? Now, I know, like I said, I know that I'm a little bit more wired than the typical average Christian. It's okay. And I know there's some people who are like, you know, that's just, you know, I'm going to be me. I'm not asking you to be me. Don't be Tim Versalona. You be you. But have the expectancy that God is going to show up. See, zeal looks very different with different people. But see, are we expecting God to do something? Just like we saw in the video a few minutes ago about Darth Vader. He's passionate about his team. He's passionate about his church. He never misses preseason. He never misses regular season. How much are we saying, you know what, Lord? I could learn something from this guy. I can learn something from that guy. I'm not going to come to church next Sunday with a Darth Vader mask because that would probably scare everybody away. Whoa, he has fallen off the deep end this week. But there's something that we can learn about what God wants to do into our lives. It's the passion of his presence. If the presence of Jesus is there, then I want to be where Jesus is. Number two, the church I see is filled with life. Let's say it again. Everybody say life. Life. The church I see is filled with life. Now, I made the statement about coming near the campus and sensing the presence of Jesus. I have always, ever since I was a young boy, I remember hearing stories of people when they would get near to where a particular church would meet, there was a sense of expectancy or anticipation. God, what are you going to do? So that by the time they come into the place, there's like, what are songs are they going to do? Who am I going to see today? What are you going to do in my life today? Jesus, what are you going to do? See, Acts chapter 5 talks about this. Turn with me real quick. I've got it up on the screen as well. Acts chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 14 to 16. It says this, and believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Now, hang on for just a second. Before we start getting kind of crazy and start getting religious and thinking, okay, that's just kind of out to lunch, there's another story in the Bible. You're probably familiar with it. It's this woman who spent her life savings on trying to get healed. And she made the statement, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. There's people who are saying, okay, you know, if we could just get where the disciples are, because when the disciples went around, stuff happened. When the gospel was preached, people got saved. It's right there in black and white. Believers were increasingly added to the Lord. When something is increasing, it's not decreasing. There's becoming more and more Christians. Amen? There's becoming more and more of an outpouring of God's presence, which is something God wants to do in our lives, in our church, in our communities. Believers were increasingly added to the Lord and multitudes of both men and women. See, there was an expectancy that, you know what, if we can just let this guy's shadow pass over him, he just might get healed. If we can just have a little more faith, then God might do something else. See, I've known people, I didn't say this last service, but let me say it this service. I want to make this very clear about faith. It's completely dependent. What God wants to do is completely dependent upon the fact that God says, I will do it. Because right. Sometimes I might not have the faith for something, but God says, you know what? I'm just big enough to do it anyway. I've met people that have said, okay, this and such didn't happen because you didn't have enough faith. Well, maybe it's because I didn't trust God enough. I don't know what it is. I don't know. Maybe it's because I had unforgiveness in my life. Maybe because I just I'm somewhere in my walk with the Lord, and the Lord wants to get me to hear before he can get me to hear. See, God is God, and people here we see in Acts chapter 5, the church I see is filled with life. They said maybe just the shadow of Peter might heal him. Also, a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities, surrounding Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits. Let's read this last line together. And they were all healed. Let's read that one more time. And they were all healed. How many were healed? All of them. That doesn't leave room for anybody who missed out, right? It says they were all healed. Why? Because the church that God sees is filled with life. That is the will of God for our lives. He says, you want life? I've got life for you. John 10:10, this is a familiar passage. It says, the thief doesn't come except to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, but I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. And if that's not enough, here's what Romans chapter 5, verse 20 says. It says, God's law was given so that all people could see how sinful they were. Well, that sounds depressing, doesn't it? But look at this. It says, but, ever say but. But as people sinned more and more, God's wonderful grace became more abundant. Boy, if that is not an epitaph for the United States of America, I don't know what is. People do what's right in their own sight and they say it's good. Well, what a lot of people say is good, God might say is sin. But the Bible is very clear. It says, as people sinned more and more, God's wonderful grace became more abundant. Where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. Here's what that means. It doesn't just mean like there's enough. It means there is an abundance of grace. Where there's a lot of sin, God says there's a whole lot more grace. Grace is a whole lot more powerful than sin. And it literally means, the word literally means to superabound, kind of like Superman. Superman is not just your normal guy, is he? He can fly. He has X-ray vision. He's got super strength, just like me. I wish. Superman is not just man. He's Superman. And see, God says, this is what I have for you. I have a superabundance of grace. As if God's grace wasn't enough, he says, but wait, there's more, because there really is more. God has got more for us, and he wants to superabound with his grace. It's not that we are better than anyone else, but it's because God's grace is just that much greater than our sin. And he loves us just that much. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So let's look at the third point. The third point is a simple point. It's easy. There's not a lot to unpack with it, so I'm going to keep it simple. Life that makes us smile. The church I see has life that makes us smile. Now, let me explain what I mean by that. John chapter 14:6 says this. It says, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. Jesus says that the life that I have is the life that I want to give you. There's that surplus. There's that overflow. There's that super abundance again. And here's what the simple point is. I'd like to offer us a challenge this week. This is your homework. Bet you didn't think you were going to have homework coming to church today. But here's your homework. Here's your assignment, boys and girls. When we leave today, I want to ask you, could you smile? Let's just take a minute. We're going to practice in just a minute. How many of you, whenever you bump into somebody, maybe walking down the street, maybe at home, somebody who you don't know, and you walk in, your eyes connect, what happens? You just give them a smile, right? And what usually happens when you smile at them? They smile back. And so I want to ask this week, when we connect eyes with somebody, you might be thinking, man, this is so not spiritual. Hang on. Stick with me. Who knows the people's lives that would be changed just because you took a minute to smile at them? And when you smile at them, and whether a smile comes back your way or not, ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? And be listening, because he might just say, tell them I love them. you might just want to say, God bless you. I'm always in line for a blessing. I want to get blessed by God. I'd rather hear somebody say, God bless you, than, oh my. Right? So let's do this. Let's take a minute. Let's take a couple minutes and practice, because this is a safe place. We're all family here, right? We're all friends and family. So let's take a minute and practice. So take a few minutes, look at somebody next to you, and just smile at them. Go ahead. And try to not smile back at them. I dare you. Thad with the win. That was a commanding smile. You're going to smile at me whether you want to or not. Bless God. So now I want to encourage you. We're going to leave in just a little while here. I want to encourage you. Listen to what the Holy Spirit might say, because you don't know what that smile might mean for somebody. You may bump into somebody, and maybe they're having a rough week. I can't tell you how many times where I've just took a minute and just said hi to somebody. How you doing? Let me tell you a quick story, and I'll finish up with this. Worship team, go ahead and come on back up. We're going to wrap up in a few minutes here. This past week, I was meeting with a friend, and we were walking around town. We just were walking all over Laconia. We parked the car, and we went and met at Wayfarer, and then we just kind of took some time and walked all over town. And at the ending of our time together, I bumped into a couple friends that I've met on Wednesday mornings, and I recognize her face. And how many of you, when you open up your mouth and you ask, how are you doing, sometimes it's like you say, oh, no, I wish I could take that back because I really don't know if I have the time to hear the long answer that I'm going to probably get. That's a pretty common response, huh? So oftentimes it'll be like, hello, we'll pat him on the back, and that's kind of it. But before I know it, I saw this guy, I smiled, I pat him on the shoulder, I said, how are you doing, man? What's going on? And here's what I got. Oh, man, it's been a rough week. This happened, we got flooded out of our camp, such and such happened, this happened, and I said, hey, let's go inside, let me buy you a cup of coffee. You ever had coffee here before? He's like, no. And I said, well, you know, I don't drink coffee, but I hear it's pretty good coffee here. I drink tea, sorry. Maybe when I grow up, I'll drink coffee, I don't know. We went inside, I bought him and his wife a cup of coffee. And I just stood there and talked with him for just a few minutes. And at the end of our time together, and I called him by name, I said, would you just mind if I said a quick prayer for you? You better believe he said, oh yeah, please, that'd be great. I said, let's pray. And so we just stopped right there in Wayfarer and prayed. This is what this guy and his wife needed. And I could have very easily just, you know, hey, have a nice day, and just walked on my way with my friend. But we took a minute. You know how it all started? It just started with a smile. Hey, man, how you doing? Did I really want to hear how he's doing? Yeah, I really did. I needed to hear how he was doing. Sometimes we need to stop and take a minute. But oftentimes we get so busy, caught up, and think, okay, we have this next thing to do. We have this next thing to do. And I don't really have time to stop and say, how are you doing? Because what if the Lord wants to minister through me and touch this person's life through me and change the course of their life forever? So that's the challenge this week. Just smile at somebody. How you doing? God bless you. Jesus loves you. What is it the Holy Spirit will whisper to your heart that somebody else needs to hear that will change their life, if at least not for a moment, forever? Can we just take a moment and close our eyes and bow our heads? Jesus, we just want to say thank you for your great love in our life. Lord, thank you that you have made us passionate people. Lord, we know that passion looks all sorts of different ways. We might get wild and crazy at sporting events and different things that life brings our way. Lord, we might be quiet and reserved, but Lord, the fact remains, you've made us passionate people. And so Jesus, today, we give ourselves to you. We give ourselves to you so you can flow through us, so you can touch people's lives through us. while our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, you may be here today and you say, you know, I hear what you're saying, but it sounds too good to be true. Can I tell you a secret? It's not too good to be true. Jesus wants to come and live in your life. He wants to be your Lord. He wants to be your Savior today. He doesn't want you to leave the same way that you came in. If you're here and you say, I've never made Jesus the Lord of my life, I need to invite him in to change me. Could you raise your hand right now? I want to pray a simple prayer that will change your life forever. You've never invited Jesus to be the Lord of your life. Let me ask this next question. You may be here today and you say, you know, Pastor, I hear what you're saying, but my zeal-o-meter, my passionometer is really low, and I need to be refreshed by the Holy Spirit. I'm tired. My power going out last week was just the icing on the cake, and my week didn't get much better from that. The Holy Spirit wants to minister freshness and newness of life to you today. If that's you, would you raise your hand and say, I need the Holy Spirit to just breathe on my life. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Hands going up all in the room. Church, let me just invite you. Could we just stand all together? We're coming to our closing moments together. We're just going to take a moment and pray. And I just want to ask, could we place our hands right about this posture here that we're about to give God our lives and receive from him? And would you pray this prayer with me? Father God, I come to you in Jesus' name, and I give you my life. I give you all of me, my past, my failures, my successes, my sin. I give all of my life to you. So Jesus, I thank you that you want to live inside of me. I want you to live inside of me. So I receive your forgiveness in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, will you fill me up? Breathe life into me. Make my life fresh. Breathe life into these dry bones. Jesus, overflow me. Superabound in me so that I am so full of you that every person I touch, their life is changed. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Come out, dry bones, come alive.
Would you listen to this song as
come
Lacey
sings? As we call out to dead hearts, come alive, come alive. Up out of the ashes, let us see an army rise. As we call out to dry bones, come alive. Call out to dry bones, come alive, come alive.
Let it come to life in us today. Could we just begin to sing that out? Today. Lord, I thank you for your goodness and for your grace and for your mercy, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Church, would you stretch your hands this way and receive this blessing as we're about to go from this place. Receive this final prayer, this benediction for the day. Now, God, I thank you that you are the one who has created us to be passionate people. people who are filled with the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I declare that over every man, over woman, every boy, and every girl in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord God, that as we go from this place, that you go before us. I thank you, Lord God, that your word tells us that we are the head and not the tail. Church, I declare you are above and not beneath. You are blessed and not cursed. And whatever you set your hands to will prosper in Jesus' name. And God, I declare, let dry bones come to life this week as you place us in the path of people to receive from your kingdom in Jesus' name. And if you receive that, would you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Guys, God bless you. It's been a great day. Have a wonderful week. Smile and hug about five or six people. Youth, we'll see you tonight at the Valentine's for Youth Challenge Night.